Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. Kyle, today we're continuing our Coaches Talk series. This has been a fun series that we've examined various phrases that we say often as coaches. That a lot of times we say it because we've always said it. Or we say it because that's what we heard as we were a player and our coaches always said it. And we just kind of say it without thinking. It's almost like a default statement. It doesn't require much thought. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. I think sometimes we may say these things and we don't even realize we're saying them.
100%. I'm guilty of that for sure.
And we don't actually take the time to slow down, to actually examine and say, is this actually making sense? Does this actually help my players? Does this hurt my players potentially? And to really examine these statements, full, all-encompassing, good and bad, to really be able to be more intentional in our communication with our players. We said in one of the earlier episodes in this series that the attention span of our players is so limited. Mm-hmm. And they can only digest so much. So if we only have their attention in a limited span and they can only digest so much, that then amplifies the importance of every word we say.
Yep.
We can't waste it. We can't just like speak and just ramble. It has to be intentional. So therefore, we need to evaluate the things we commonly say. And in today's episode, Kyle, we're going to one of the most popular, almost regardless of sports.
Just yeah, if we were playing Family Feud, this would be on the leaderboard.
Oh, this would hands down be on the leaderboard. I mean, this would be like they'd be quick to the buzzer.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey in the center. They'd be quick to the buzzer. It is the coach yelling, communicate. Hey, we need to communicate out there.
We need to talk more.
We need to talk more. We need to communicate. We need to communicate. Hey, I'm not hearing enough communication. We need to communicate. Raise your hand if you've ever said that as a coach. Keep your hand on the treadmill.
Yes, I was going to say, keep one hand on the steering wheel.
We all have said that. Hey, we need to communicate. And the reality is it's true. If you're saying it, it's true. There probably isn't enough talking. There probably isn't enough communicating. They probably are missing assignments. They probably are setting their teammates up for potential issues by not speaking proactively in their communication. It doesn't happen, right? The young players aren't communicative at the level that I think we need them to be. There's a really popular reel going around right now with Chris Paul, where he was at a recent high school camp, an all-star camp. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see that. Yeah,
where he basically stops practice and he says, like, you can't be embarrassed to talk. And he really kind of emphasized that term embarrassed. Like, don't be embarrassed to talk. You need to talk. You need to communicate. Too many of y'all being embarrassed, you know, maybe it's not cool enough or you're too shy or you're just, once again, embarrassed to speak up. It can't happen. Can't happen. So the statement in and of itself is needed to be addressed. It needs to be addressed. The challenge with this, Kyle, is when you say we need to communicate, or I don't hear you communicating. Do the players know exactly? Have they seen it exactly? Are they given the clear instruction of what to communicate? Not to communicate, but what to communicate.
Yeah, that's the first thing when we were getting ready to talk about this that jumps to my mind is we say that, but do the players know what to communicate? Because we don't want them out there just talking, just to talk. Like, noise isn't a good thing unless it's purposeful. So if they're out there and they're just saying something, or if I'm an athlete and maybe I'm young or something like that, and I'm out there on the field and I think, oh, I better communicate, and I'm just yelling instructions to my teammate. What if it's the wrong thing? What if it puts someone else out of position and it hurts us? You know, we've got to be really kind of aware and clear before we get to that point again of like, what are the things that our players should be communicating? What do we want them as coaches to communicate amongst themselves? That's got to be in place before we can question, are they communicating?
I think it's also helpful to show them a model of what great communication should look like, whether that's you modeling it, whether that's showing film, modeling what great communication would look like. Let them get a visual for what it should look like or sound like. I think part of the reason you have to be very intentional on this also is because there is a thing called communication fatigue. That if you over-communicate, it begins to drown out the voice of your communication. I think it's why a lot of teams will bring us out to work with their teams, because they recognize that that there's a communication fatigue that the players may be experiencing with the coach. You hear the coach's voice all the time. You always hear that it doesn't land as strongly as it once did. And they bring in someone else to kind of change it up, because my voice, they just hear my voice all the time. That's you essentially stating there's a thing called communication fatigue. We teach on it a little bit in lifeguarding, in our lifeguarding exercise, because there is what they call whistle fatigue in lifeguarding. That if the lifeguard blows their whistle all the time, constantly, you eventually just turn, you know, you're just like, this lifeguard's annoying. I'm done with that.
It reminds me of the phrase, if everything's important, then nothing is important.
Exactly. So if we have to like kind of, if you could just go start communicating, you're just like yelling, screaming, communicating every little detail, then all of a sudden it's like, I can't keep up with all of that. What's important? What's not important? Should I pay attention to that? I can't keep up. Now all of a sudden I'm like tired trying to keep up with the level of communication. Now we're just yelling and screaming and it's excessive. What do I need to communicate? And it's such a vague statement. I'm always cautious when we deliver vague statements that we want to see produce specific results.
Exactly.
Think about that. I think that should all set up a red flag for everyone hearing that. Be very careful whenever you deliver a vague statement that you are hoping will produce a specific result. I mean, just hearing that should cause us to pause and say, I mean, first of all, it makes sense, but holy smokes, am I guilty of it?
Right.
Holy smokes, am I guilty of so often producing vague statements wanting specific results from it? And I think this one plays into that so clearly. I think the best example I've ever heard of getting this right is from our friends over at PGC Basketball, who maybe more than anyone I've ever seen in the game of basketball does an incredible job teaching the game. And in fact, this sidebar, there's a great reel from PGC right now about like, smacking the ball out of a player's hand. Have you seen that?
No, let's go check it out.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's basically, go check it out. Rudy Bentley, one of their directors, talks about it and how, reach in fouls are always called by how we reach in, and how like, you know, the swatting down motion, basically they don't, when you hold a basketball, and this is completely unrelated, sorry, it's just if you're a basketball coach, you'll appreciate this. If you're holding a basketball with two hands, it doesn't leave much room if you were to put your hand over top to smack the ball down between their two hands and your hand. Very, very, how will a ref in real time ever see or know that you got all ball?
Right.
The optics only like of the it tiniest aren't margin of error, right?
Yeah.
So years ago, they made a rule that said, you know, it's not even that they're going to even evaluate if you touched hand. They're now just going to do anytime you do a downward motion on the ball when they're holding it, they're just going to call the foul, the downward motion. So They basically teach the players in PGC that, well, okay, if that's the case, then do an upward motion.
Yeah, swipe up.
Swipe up. And they show this whole thing. They show how your hand is placed with the other. I say that they're a great teacher of the game, right? Great teacher, mm-hmm. the nuance, okay?
Right.
But they do it really well in the communication space. They said, listen, we need you to communicate more. Well, what am I communicating? It needs to be around these three things. And if you do these three things, and this applies to basketball and beyond into other sports, name, encouragements, and reminders. Names, encouragements, and reminders. When we say we're communicating, it needs to be one of those three things or a combination of those three things, but really exclusively those three things. Names, because there are times where you need to direct so the person knows who you're communicating to.
Yep.
So if you're on the field, on the court, and you need to communicate, sometimes it's like, Kyle, hey, Kyle, that's you, Kyle, that's you. Okay, Kyle, that's you, that's a name and a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a name and a reminder. Hey, Kyle, you got this. Name, encouragement. Right? That it really should be some form of combination or exclusivity of these three elements of name, encouragements, and reminders. Now, all of a sudden, you can start evaluating moments in gameplay where you can start now teaching on those three things in that moment where you say, all right, in that particular situation that just took place, was there an instance for a name, encouragement, or reminder that could have helped in advance of that? Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, knowing that there was backside, you know, they were over here on this side, the two of them were over there, and I'm over here, and that this screen was coming around, I probably could have communicated to them a reminder that this was happening. Fantastic. Who was it happening to? Both of them or just one? Well, just one of them. Okay, that's where the name needed to get brought in. Kyle, not Mike. The screen wasn't coming on Mike, although he was on that side. It was to Kyle. Hey, heads up. Hey, reminder, they're going to come around. Kyle, they're coming around. Not, hey, they're coming around. Now, all of a sudden, Mike and Kyle both turn their heads.
Right. That's a big difference.
And now, all of a sudden, Mike's having to engage in, once again, to your point, right, over communication like we've talked about. Now, Mike's having to turn his head and listen to something that really is not his instruction. Now, he's distracted because that's the other dynamic of communication. Hey, I need to communicate. Y'all need to communicate. Okay, well, what if the communication starts distracting?
Yeah, you're want them overanalyzing. You're processing too much, and then you can't react. You can't play.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Communicate praise in public and critique in private. When praising someone on your team, it is oftentimes best to do that in the presence of others and acknowledge specifically why you are praising the person beyond simply a good job. But when feedback needs to take place, always do that in a private setting. Communicating frustration or criticism in front of others is a quick way to alienate the person you're trying to help. Now let's jump back into the episode.
So it's one of those things where it's you're wanting specific results because, hey, I need you to communicate. You also don't want them to over-communicate because it creates fatigue, creates distraction. So I want you to perfectly communicate. Are you kidding me? Hold on, coach. Let's get this straight. You're frustrated that I don't communicate. So now you're yelling at me to communicate more. But yet there is an element, as just shared here, that if I over communicate, it can create communication fatigue. My voice will get drowned out and I may distract some of my teammates. So you want me to hit this sweet spot of communication, and you want me to hit the sweet spot by you just generally throwing out this generalized blanket statement of, hey, we need you to communicate, and you're not going to give me the specifics. You're not going to teach me exactly how to do this well. You're just going to keep yelling at me to communicate perfectly. Come on, coach. Is that setting me up for success?
Right. That over-communication, you know, paralysis, you know, over-analyst, that old statement, you know, too much analysis leads to paralysis for the athlete, where they just kind of freeze and they don't do anything. And have to be very intentional. I love that, the three things there. That's great. It applies to all walks of life, the name, encouragement, reminders. The other thing you got to think about too, as well with this, is when we think about sports and athletes, there are other forms of communication that aren't verbal that are important as well. You know, we have to think about nonverbal body language, and we can have great communication, but it's all about, you know, we go back to our exercise of being on the same page, you know? So a lot of this work, when we talk about communication, it also has to be done alongside the relationships on the team. Because if those aren't strong and those aren't healthy, you could still have really good communication, but it's going to fall on ears that don't want to hear it. Mm. So when we get to that point, though, I think when we've had our best teams, and the best teams you or I've ever been a part of, there's a high level of communication that's going on that team that's not verbal. And that is something that we can build toward. That, again, players might be, some of those players on your team, they might be better at that form of communication than the verbal part of it.
So that's the other dynamic there. Communicate. People have different communication styles. It's more comfortable for some, more normal for others, you know, more, less uncomfortable for others. You know, I think the reality is, let's say you're a basketball coach and you're putting in a new offensive set, and you've got all these roles and responsibilities, and you go through it very detailed. And I've watched many, many coaches implement a new offensive set. And it's very detailed. It's very detailed. Yep. A lot of times they start in the classroom, they're on the board, they're drawing it up, they are laying out what we hope to accomplish with this. They're going through everyone's roles and responsibilities with this. They are speaking through all the potential challenges we may experience as opponents may shift coverages and such that would maybe cause this set to now have to be adjusted or adapted. We will go through, we will look at the players, say, do you got it? Do you have any questions on this? Do you feel good on this? All right, so your role, do you recognize what you're going to be looking for in this regard? I mean, oh my gosh, it's relatively sophisticated. And then that's just the foundational setting that is usually done then pre, and then you go and you actually go to court. And you go to the court and now you're trying to implement it. And you're getting your reps, right? And you're talking through it and you're practicing and you're running through it multiple times. Hey, let's run that one back. Hey, that was good, but we're still missing this. Hey, let's run it back. Hey, let's run it back. I just want you to think about the level of intentionality that goes into implementing a new play. It's a lot. Exactly. It's a lot. But yeah, we will approach communication as a, all right, hey, I need y'all to communicate. I need y'all to communicate. Hold on. You're going to take me through 90 minutes of this play implementation.
Yeah, install.
Install, role, responsibility, question, discussion, activation, repetition. You're going to go through all of that. We're going to nitpick it. We're going to discuss it, break it down, and then you're going to just simply yell and just say, we need you to communicate, without even remotely creating something as structured, as intentional as what you just demonstrated with the play. But what if it was? What if you actually were as intentional? What if you did break it down? What if you did begin to teach your communication in the same way that you're teaching to play? What if you start going through all the scenarios and say, in this scenario, this, what should we say in this scenario? Oh, it should be this. All right, then how about this scenario? What would you say this? Well, what if your role was over here and you're over here and this is happening over here? What would you say in this situation? Well, I'd say this. Okay, well, what if they change it and do that? Then how would you communicate it? Well, I'd probably say this. Excellent. Well done. That's exactly what you should do, right? Well, what if this happens? Well, then we should probably communicate this. Great. All right, now that we've spent 30 minutes in the classroom studying it, talking about it, let's take it to the court. Let's practice our communication. We're just going to go through it in the air. Right. Oh, no, you missed your assignment there. You had a communication assignment. You didn't deliver it. Right. Run it back. Run it back.
Yeah, we're going to rep it for sure.
I mean, now all of a sudden, when you say I need y'all to communicate and they're not, I actually think you have a really valid leg to stand on, because you have laid out very clearly the baseline, the expectation. You've taught them. You've gone through it. They have demonstrated their ability to do it, which now says, okay, I can now hold you to the level that you've just demonstrated. It changes.
But it's a big difference.
It's a big difference, but we just want it to magically happen. But, you know, I think going back to PGC, once again, I love them so much. That's why they say one of their five cores of great coaches are individuals who are great teachers.
Yeah. Intentional teachers.
Intentional teachers that will teach and develop the people into, you know, we say this a lot and lead them up. Anything you want to see exist in your program has to be developed. So right. If you want to see healthy communication, if you want to see active and, you know, the appropriate communication, are you teaching it? If your team's not communicating well, could that be a reflection on your coaching or teaching? Did you teach it well enough?
We said that in the last episode. We're well past the days of an athlete just blindly nodding their head and do as I say. They need to know what is expected and they need to know it clearly. We have to be really clear in our instructions and our intentions and making sure that our athletes understand what's being asked of them.
You know, I'm not in this position where I'm like trying to like create a campaign for athletes to like speak back to coaches. Not at all. Okay. But I did touch on this in the last episode where I said, where I kind of used an example of like, what if the player actually responded back to you with the same question you're asking them? Like, how would you respond? And I'm going to kind of do the same thing here. What if, as you're yelling, communicate, we need to communicate better. What if a player kind of jumped back at you a little bit and say, coach, you know, honestly, coach, what is that supposed to look like? Because you haven't showed us. Why don't you tell us exactly what you're expecting of us? Because you keep saying communicate. You've never actually taken the time to show us or tell us or model it for us. We've never actually taken the time. So why don't you, coach, stop yelling, communicate, come over here and tell us exactly what it should look like.
That like, could be I something think that would, that, it's a very challenging question, but like as a coach, when you hear that, I think there's a light bulb that probably goes off and like, oh man, I've kind of failed him in that area. I've left him, you know, hanging to dry.
Exactly. Like, once you get past your ego of maybe the player challenging you, maybe you land in that place where like, you know what? Like the player was kind of right. Like I've been yelling at them for a long period of time and they threw up their hands in frustration because they're like, I don't know what you're expecting from us right now. I don't know exactly what you want to see. You're trying to have us hit this bullseye, this target that keeps moving, that is different in different moments on different days that kind of change based on how you're feeling in the day. Mm-hmm. As a coach, like I don't know what to hit here. You're not helping me, coach.
It's
a challenging place.
It is. And we've really got to just, I think that's so great about this series is that these statements really are going to make us better coaches. We're going to be more intentional with our words and how we position them.
100%. And when we get better, then our players get better. When the players get better, our program gets better. And it may seem like small things, just examining simple statements, but I tell you, it makes a huge difference. makes a huge difference.
It really does.
I was with a group this morning, one of our professional corporate clients, where I spend mornings doing some leadership work, and we're in the process of putting together a communication framework for them that really outlines the rules of engagement in all elements of their communication. The rules of engagement, because they've got all these little moments where they're not clearly defined. So everyone kind of communicates it just slightly different, and they're not on the same page, and everyone has slightly different expectations, and it's creating all these disconnects within their team. Like, for example, need you to call and share this with that one individual, but don't call them about everything, right? Because they're too busy to take a call for everything, but you certainly need to be communicative enough so they're in the loop. Makes sense, right? Don't call me about everything, but please call me on what's important. Well, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, things can definitely be misinterpreted there and fall through the cracks.
Well, what's important? What's not important, right? You know, what's an emergency? What's not an emergency? Well, what's an emergency to me may not be an emergency to you. So all of a sudden, they've got that, right? All of a sudden, like, who to go to in moments? Well, I should go to you. You know, should I go to you? And, you know, well, sometimes I go to this person about this. And now all of a sudden, it's like, who am I supposed to communicate? And they've got all these different dynamics there, all centered around communication, that frankly, nobody's wrong. Nobody in their organization is wrong. They just need to sit down and actually, and here's another one, like, what is professional communication sound like, look like, feel like? Everyone's got different personalities. Some team members are getting frustrated with the communication style of other people because they feel like it's not professional enough, and they feel like it should be this and it shouldn't be that. So they've got all these little communication dynamics. Nobody's really wrong. It's just a whole bunch of people interpreting it the way they want to interpret it. Yeah. And then getting frustrated when the other people aren't interpreting it the same way they interpret it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to sit down. Y'all need to sit down and actually create a communication framework that is built around an ROG, rules of engagement, to say clearly, this is what it looks like. This is what we need to do. This is the expectation. There are people that are frustrated because people don't communicate back quick enough. And somebody wants a response at this time, where the other one thinks it's okay if I respond at this time. And I'm frustrated because you don't respond quick enough to my message. But that person thinks 3 days is appropriate. This person thinks 1 day is professional. Now, all of a sudden, there's this tension there where you're not a good communicator. Hold up. No. Is anyone wrong? No. They just haven't created the rules of engagement. They haven't created the communication framework where everybody's on the same page, where we've gone through all the different elements of where communication is needed to show up in a consistent manner. And then they sat down and talked through each and every one and laid them all out in a consistent manner. And maybe that's what you do to help build that out. Maybe you go through all the different areas. Hey, when a screen's being set, what's our expectation? Perfect. Right? When there's a substitution in, what's our expectation? When there's a rotation on defense, what's our expectation? Right? Hey, what's our communication expectation on the bench? Like, go through every element where there may be a moment of communication misalignment, right?
Yeah.
Or conflicting, where it's not necessarily conflict, but we're just not on the same page. Go through every area. Maybe you create a rule of engagement and you go through and say, listen, that's our rule of engagement. When that happens, you know exactly what to expect.
The more clear we are, the more consistent the players will be. And when we continuously rep it, the better that they're going to get at it. So like we said earlier, if you want to see that be a factor and something that stands out, you have to develop it. It can't just be coach talk. It can't just be something that comes out in these moments of wanting the players to do and to be more. We have to be very intentional with what does that look like here? Here's how it's done. Then we can challenge.
So coaches, take today's episode, Share it with your fellow coaches, with your staff. Allow this episode to be a door opener to a really productive and rich conversation that I believe you can have with your team of coaches to talk about, you know, hey, I think we're guilty, everybody. I think we're guilty. I mean, look at your coach. I think we're guilty of at times not being thorough enough on our teaching, saying things like, hey, we need to communicate, but not actually clarifying what that looks like. Modeling it, going through it, have this discussion. We hope this helps. These little enhancements on different coach talk statements that we say can drastically and dramatically shift our enhancement as a coach and make a big, big difference. Make a big, big difference. But I think also, I think not only just us changing it, last thing I'll say, Kyle, not only us changing the statement will help us, I think just getting into the habit that this series is producing of evaluating the statements we say.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, not just us changing the specific one, but just getting into the habit of evaluating the things we say to say, is there a better way for it to land more effective?
Right. We want our players to continuously work to improve. And I think we as coaches need to constantly do the same thing. As our players change, we need to change to meet them where they're at.
100%. Well, listen, on behalf of the Lead 'Em Up team, he is Kyle. I am Adam. Coaches, we appreciate you. Till next time, we are out.